You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, get the freshest Cleveland Browns gear by visiting the team shop at First Energy Stadium or shop on the official Browns mobile app. Also, don't miss the new Dog Pound t-shirts with a limited run only at the team shop at First Energy Stadium. And now, let's hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine.
Another week, another opportunity for us to get better as a football team. You know, as we reach this point of the season, the weather's changing and you got stuff going on. You got the calf season get ready to start. You got Halloween. There's the distractions start to pile up, and it's a good test for us from a mental toughness standpoint. That's the challenge to our guys this week. We play two games in 9 days. You know, just dealing with schedules that are out of the norm. That if you want to be a good team, you have to be able to handle those things. So Tampa's our challenge. Similar to the last couple weeks, I know their record is not where they want it to be, but it's an NFL team. They have some good players, and it will be a challenge. They haven't put it together, but we, as always, we'll talk about a team and expect their best. But that's the biggest challenge for our guys is to go out and execute. I keep saying it, but they're playing not against Tampa, but against our standards. And I think that's important for our guys to realize, and that will hopefully insulate them from playing up or down. I'll go ahead and open it up.
Mike Evans, how seriously did you guys consider him coming out in the draft, and what do you like? What do you like that you've seen of him so far in the NFL?
Well, we did like him. I mean, he was right up there. I know we had Cooks real high. Evans was certainly in that mix. I don't know where he ended up in the rankings. We certainly got to see a lot of him on tape, evaluating, going through the quarterback evaluations. And I mean, he's a playmaker, big-bodied guy that has it's like a power forward. Has a great sense of timing. An ability to high point a ball, and that'll be the challenge for our guys this week, to make sure that we can stay on top. Vincent Jackson's very, very similar. I mean, this is by far the biggest wide receiver and tight end group that we'll face, and that's for sure is a challenge for us. But it's not a surprise to us that Evans is having some of the success that he is. We knew his game. Would translate.
If you're going to be without Jordan Cameron, talk about, please, Jim Dre, what he means to your team.
Yeah, he and Gary both mean a lot, and Jim's been the ultimate professional. He's come in, hardly says a word, and just all he does is work. And he's very interactive, very intelligent, very interactive with the staff. Does a real good job with his preparation. He knows all the different spots. He's very flexible that way, very versatile. And he's made plays for us. I mean, he's gotten open, and when the ball's been thrown to him, he's caught it. And nothing flashy there, but fills a great role for us. And then he'll have to step up, and if Jordan is out, as will Gary. He's in the protocol. I don't know where he was today as far as symptoms, but you don't even start the clock until they're quote unquote symptom free. So I know he won't go today, and that'll be a day to day thing based on where he is.
Have you talked to him, Mike? I mean, he's had 3 concussions within the last 2+ years. When that happens, do you talk to the guy about his future and piling up?
Not that I wasn't going to. I mean, I don't think it's appropriate to do it right at this time when he's still. You know, when he has been, it's still fresh and recovering from it. So we'll see as how long it takes and the severity of this one. And if that's something we need to address, we will.
You had mentioned Jim Dre. Can you? What are your thoughts on Gary Barnage?
Very similar. Very similar. Those I joked about Gary before. I guess it was after the Saints game that he wasn't going to make anybody's Pro Bowl ballot. But he's a guy that just goes out there and does his job. Smart, versatile, very good at the point of attack. I think is a very good fit for us scheme-wise, that we weren't really sure about Gary coming in, what we had in him. That's one of the reasons why we went after Dre in free agency. And then when we got around Gary and realized that, hey, this guy is a good fit for us and has played some significant reps for us.
Mike, when Manziel was at A&M and he redshirted the first year, he acknowledged having difficulties in not playing for the first time in his brief career. And he ran into some off-the-field problems as a result of that. His coach, Sumlin, talked a lot to him. I'm wondering, do you have conversations with him regarding frustration at this point?
I can sense it. I mean, we haven't specifically addressed it, but I check in with him as I check in with most all of our guys periodically. But that's a position that can be frustrating to go from being the guy at A&M, and that's a tough thing as the reality of the season has clearly set in. But at the same time, we make sure that he's preparing like a starter, and that's it can happen in the span of one play. I mean, and you see it around the league all the time that he has to be ready to go, he has to be prepared, and there's no reason to think that he's not. He comes here and I think does a good job in the room helping he and Connor helping Brian out, being prepared for an opponent. And then how he carries himself on the field. He goes out and competes and does what he can to get better. So none of us have a crystal ball. We don't know when it could happen. And it's important that's the frustration is natural for him to deal with. But he does have to be ready to go. How can you sense it?
Yeah, you said you can sense it that there's something.
Well, I just think that, that he's quiet. I just think you feel it. That I'd be shocked if maybe I'm imposing it on, putting it on him. But you feel it because you know what a competitor he is. That here's a guy that's gone from the past how many falls, being out there making plays, to standing there and having to watch, and knowing the competitor he is. I mean, the competitor that he is one of the biggest reasons we brought him here. So if he didn't feel that way, I'd be shocked.
Gone along and watched him throughout these weeks, has he confirmed for you, that he's a first-round pick and that he's got great potential?
He certainly showed flashes of it, but we won't truly know until he gets out there in an actual game and in meaningful time.
Why did you bring in Taylor as opposed to that Robbins?
One of the reasons was in order to get Taylor, we had to claim him and put him on the roster. I think we had a pretty good sense of what we had in Robinson, and I don't know much about Ryan, but we should get a good sense here. If Jordan is out for an extended period of time, more of a blocker. I mean, not he's probably closer to Gary than maybe to Jordan.
Going back to Manziel, I know social media is what it is, but he had an early morning post on Twitter Monday morning, I think it was like 4:30 in the morning, about being out or whatever. I don't know if it's harmful, harmless. Do you keep track of that? Are you apprised of that, and does it concern you at all?
I don't know whether he was still up or whether he was waking up early and getting ready to come into work. We keep an eye on it. We're not going to micromanage our guys out of the building. We expect them to be mature and handle themselves. So if there's something is a cause for alarm, especially in season, that we'll address it.
Do you have any curiosity to see how he would perform in real situations between now and the end of the season?
Well, I think we all do. I mean, that's a question that we need to have answered, but it's not something that you can force. I mean, Brian's our starting quarterback, and that's a difficult thing to say. Let's just go ahead and all the games are meaningful. Now, if it ever gets to the point whether we're potentially up big, down big, or if there's a situation for calls for him to go in, we'll get an opportunity to see him. But there's a lot of football left to be played. You're looking for an evaluation at some point, but what I'm saying is I don't think you can force it.
About the NFL Films video of you on the sideline Sunday,
Is that a normal interaction with you and Kyle about the touchdown pass to Hawk, the play call?
I didn't.
Run it, and he kind of gives you a look, and then you go, all right, I trust you, do whatever you want. Or
oh, I didn't know that. Thanks, Peter. I was told during training camp I only had to do it once, and then I got a note, by the way, from old PJB here that I had to wear it for the season. I mean there are times when like before the half where I told him that I wanted to, when we had the procedure penalties, but he's the expert at it. He's studied them the most and has the best feel for the plan. That I'm not going to sit here and say that I know the offensive plan inside out and backwards. He knows it better, certainly, than I do, and has a better feel for the game. So that's, but still I want to make sure that sometimes as a play caller you get in that mode and you kind of lose the scope of the circumstances of the game. It's hard to manage a game being a play caller. And that's one of the reasons that Jim O'Neill is doing the vast majority of the defensive play calling. Because it's hard to manage a game as a play caller, and that's where I step in at times with Kyle to make sure he's aware of the situation, or if I feel strongly about doing something a certain way, then I'll let him know that.
Another Manziel question here, but you had said a couple weeks ago, I think, to Peter King, that nothing has changed with Manziel, that he'll be our starting quarterback someday, you just don't know what day. Is that positive for Brian Hoyer when he hears that?
Well, we drafted Johnny in the first round. Brian Hoyer at that point was very much a question mark coming off the knee last year of a contract. So it was important for us to address that position. And based on how he's performed, that he's shown the ability in glimpses to be a starting quarterback here in the NFL, and that's one of the biggest reason that we brought him here. So we don't know what the future holds with Brian. I hate talking about contract stuff, but that's the reality of the NFL. And we'll see how it plays out down the road.
Ray Farmer took some heat this year because of the receiver position, at least on paper. And one of his statements was, you don't need first-round receivers to win in this league. Teams have shown it. Is it fair to use Tampa Bay as Exhibit A, Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans, and the 32nd in offense? Do you think that's a fair representation of what Ray's talking about?
Well, I think really the driving force behind his point was that I think if you have to have a system that you believe in and you build your roster that way, that you can get it done. You can get it done with first-round receivers, but you build it a certain way that you think that you can – based on all your circumstances. How are we going to move the ball? How are we going to generate yards? How are we going to generate points? And it can be done a lot of different ways. Some teams believe in building it through the offensive line, or other people have the mindset you have to have a top five franchise quarterback, and you're always looking for that guy. But if he's not there, you're not going to end the season. You still got to play the game. So you got to find ways to win that aren't dependent on any one position. So I agree with Ray, and when you do a study, the numbers bear it out, that you look at some of the best teams around, that they have good players at receiver, and I also think that's a position where you can find guys later, that you see some of the better receivers in the league aren't necessarily top 15 picks. Now, there are obviously some great ones out there that were taken then, but you see teams that are very functional. If their system's good, their quarterback's good, can be accurate with the ball, that you can get it done a lot of different ways.
You're playing a second-year quarterback, and you played a couple of rookies. What's the difference, generally speaking, second-year guys?
Yeah, I think the feel for the game, the feel for NFL coverages, just knowing where to go with the ball. I think that it's a lot of times the younger quarterbacks will be more in a mode of staring their guys down, and then if the number one guy isn't there, then they're looking to get out of the pocket. And the kid last week, I think, proved going into our game and proved it even more in our game that he is doesn't look like a rookie, that he was able to, hey, the first one wasn't there, he went to the second, he went to the third, he could make some plays with his feet. And Glennon's a guy that has ability, that if you allow him to stand in the pocket and stand on his spot, that he's got a big arm and some pretty good targets. So it's our task up front is to make sure that we get him off of his first read and we get him off of his spot.
From last year to this, that he's not staring at receivers as much?
Yeah, he's improved. He's improved from year one to year two. And I was in Buffalo a year ago. We went down there and they didn't have a big day numbers-wise offensively, but they did enough to win the game, and he made a couple big throws.
Kaywon Williams, where is he? I mean, he's had a couple injuries now in a row. Is he going to be practicing this week? Or?
Yeah, he's full go. I think we'll just look to limit his contact, but he's been cleared to go.
Taylor, is he close to coming back?
Getting closer. I don't think it's imminent. I'd be surprised to see him this week or on the short week. Next week, Billy should be full go, which is encouraging. But Phil's a little ways out.
Steve Young, Aaron Rodgers, sort of the examples where you could stockpile a good player for 3-4 years, but now quarterbacks all play so early. It seems like in most cases, can you still do that in today's game? That have a high pick sit 2-3-4 years if necessary? Do you have a good option in front of it?
Yeah, To me, it's look at your roster, who gives you the best chance to win. And if you have a guy on your roster that's doing that for you and somebody's sitting and waiting, I think the mistakes are made when teams get impatient, that they have to know or that guy has to play. I think it's easy in coaching world because it's, hey, who gives us the best chance to win today? And we'll worry about tomorrow down the road.
Very good place to end right there. Worrying about tomorrow down the road, which means as you listen to Mike Pettine, that we've kind of fortified here in the show for the last couple of weeks. It's about winning football games for the Cleveland Browns and specifically to give them the greatest opportunity to make the playoffs this year. Matt, well, let's dive into that when we get back. All right, you and I have discussed
it. You got it, man.
We got into it last week a little bit with it. And that answering that question right there alone is the head coach telling you and confirming exactly that. It's not about developing young football players right now. Not at the expense of winning games, which is what the Cleveland Browns have done for their first 7 in being a game over 500. All right, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Michael Rega, Matt Wilhelm, Scott Petrak joins us this hour. And it's also hashtag Mailbag Wednesday. Get your tweets ready. Big second hour to go. Come on back and we're rip, roaring, ready to have at it next right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.